Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
So glad.
So glad.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Very glad.
Can't even express it in words. I'm just going to do this episode in tongues.
We're back.
Oh, it'd be cool.
We'll be needing an interpreter.
Oh.
Brianna, you remember a while back, a few years ago, and you were in a book.
I was in a book.
You were in a book.
Yes.
And our guest that we're having on tonight, he's kind of the boss of this. Matt is kind of the boss of this.
He's the boss.
This room, but everything surrounding the room.
Yeah.
Bryce Stacy is the boss.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like Lion King. Like everything that, what is it? The light touches.
Mustafa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Everything on Youth Venture
Property. You have very strong blinders on. Yeah. Hey, you're looking at that light.
Everything on Youth Venture Property, Bryce is in charge of.
Yes. Pastor Bryce Stacy is the outreach pastor of Foothills Christian Church. I don't even think he understands the depth and craziness of that. I used to say the nature of my job is so secretive that even I don't know what I'm doing.
I think that's just like code for I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Outreach is a big deal thing. And part of that, because is Youth Venture, and we really love Youth Venture, don't we?
All of yes, we do.
Yeah, like this is... Yeah.
We're inside of one.
This is the heart of it.
Have been from the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys that God gave me a vision for Youth Venture when Jeremy Miller was 3?
No.
No.
Can I tell that story really quick? And then we'll just turn it over to Bryce.
It's kind of like your podcast, bro.
Really? Cool. Shoot. So I drive by a empty building in Spring Valley. And I looked at it and I went, wait a minute. And just like God downloaded the vision for Youth Venture, God downloaded into me, this is a teen center. This is where kids can come, where it's safe. This is where their lives can be changed forever. And I put Jeremy on my lap. He was 3. And I drew out, and if you've ever seen me draw, it was hideous. I drew out the logo. And it was a mountain. And coming out of the mountain was the name of the teen center, Higher Ground.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I did not know.
And I wasn't faithful to do it.
Oh, wow.
I got involved in business, and it went away. And God gave that vision to another man years later, and I got to serve his vision for Youth Venture. And now Jeremy is doing teen centers all over the country
that are
named all sort of different things. And it started 3 years old sitting on my lap with Higher Ground,
Higher Ground.
We do. Higher Ground is another ministry that Bryce is integral in, right? You play with Higher Ground?
Yeah.
So this whole thing is like, if you're not a Christian and you're listening, you might call it cosmic. We call it kingdom.
Yeah. No coincidences here.
That's truth. So Bryce, how did this all begin? How did Youth Venture and you?
Well, yeah, Youth Venture is older than I am at this point. And so it's got me by, I think, 8 years. And, you know, that started with Mark, and Mark had vision for all these students wandering on the street. And so I came up when I got invited to a Higher Ground club, which are the after school clubs at Carlton Hills is where I was going. And I just had a friend, you know, hey, we're playing soccer. There's pizza or something. I can't remember the full story.
Bait.
And yeah, the bait. That's why we still give out pizza and all the games and fun and things. And so that's when I started going there. And then David Matranga was there, and he invited me to junior high group to, you know, overnight or airsoft and more fun things that got me. And then I was hooked, and I was around for a while.
Can we backtrack?
Yeah.
Because we've talked to a lot of people who have come into your story. Youth Venture is absolutely pivotal, right? Mm-hmm. And for me as well. But what was going on in your life? I know the bait's the bait, but that gets you there, but something else tends to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in your life? What was your life like back then?
Yeah. So I was in 7th grade at that point. And for at least a few years, I was dealing with this terrible depression, got to the point where constant suicidal thoughts, giving up on life. I'm done with all of this.
And how old were you?
I think that started around 5th grade. So,
oh, man, no way. So young.
Something like that. Real young. And You know, it's one of those things that to this day I look back and I can't find the exact source. You know, I had friendships that fell through, but my parents were great. They loved me. They were together. You know, I wasn't dealing with a lot of those like housing struggles. Like I knew where I was sleeping that night and those things. But there was this disconnect that I couldn't feel loved in a lot of ways. And even from my parents and all the things that they did that were great, there was this, you don't like me. This is just because you have mm-hmm. to. Or some of that was, you know, you like my sister better than me and that kind of stuff. That's all, you know, when you're 10 years old, it seems like a bigger deal that someone else gets the ice cream you like or whatever. And so dealing with all that. And the craziest thing is that I actually made plans to take my life the summer of 2012. Mm. And it was right before school. You know, in my mind, there was some trip we were going on or something that I was like, all right, after that, I'm done. And I'm ready to move on with this whole living thing. And towards the end of that school year is when I got invited to Higher Ground. And started going, and I was very like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What is this Jesus thing? Like, you guys are all idiots. And because I wasn't raised Christian in any way. And so started going to Higher Ground and Youth Venture and Junior High Group. And just this long, perpetual, I don't really know about this. This isn't for me. This is for those guys. And 3 or 4 months of that go by, and Future Quest rolls around. And Mark's giving this message in the morning session. June 28th of 2012. And I have the same thought of, dude, can this guy stop talking? Just can this guy stop talking? Let's go play airsoft or paintball or go get to all the fun stuff. And so then free time comes and go have fun. And then we come back and Mark's preaching again. And I remember sitting there and just the same thing of like, just got to sit here. All right, we'll be here for 45 minutes. And towards the end of the message, he starts doing the altar call, just the, you know, if you need Jesus, come forward. And I got hit with the most conviction I think I've ever felt in my life that I had to respond to it. And I remember being so scared because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know, like, what is this feeling? This is all so foreign to me. And so I'm sitting there, you know, I'm 13 years old at this point, and David Matrenga is standing next to me. And I remember telling myself, all right, I'll go, God, I'll go if David goes down. Like, I am unwilling if he doesn't go down. And of course, David being faithful, he goes down for ministry time, and I go, all right, Lord, let's do this, and go down and give my life to the Lord, and, you know, be dehydrated 10 minutes later from how much I'm crying and tearing up, and got completely healed in that moment of all my depression, of the suicidal thoughts, and truly, like, I'm alive today because Jesus saved me. You know, I don't think I'd be here, because I had direct plans for about a month after that. I was like, I'm checking out. This is it. And so that's like the basis of the beginning of this odyssey.
Let's sit there for a second, because Brianna, you've got training and experience in mental health.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that? I mean, for me, when I see people with anxiety or depression, and I see it all the time, it doesn't necessarily make sense at all. It doesn't have to be connected to a situation where if your parents are beating you and blah, 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 and all of this. Okay, so that kind of just makes sense. That results in some brokenness. But what can you share with us about just depression itself when it just doesn't make sense?
Well, I think there might be like different routes. You know, there's always like the more tangible chemical route. I do believe that some people can have depression or anxiety because of like chemical imbalances. I think that you have to like know that for a fact. You would have to like a doctor. But I was actually like thinking while you were talking that it's just interesting, because I really feel like sometimes when things aren't circumstantial, they can pass over into, well, is it just spiritual and is there a reason for it, you know? And so I'm not really one to say like, you know, oh, like a spirit's causing this, you know, like I'm not quick to be like, it's like oppression or like affliction or you're being possessed. But I do think that there is something about, you know, I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it's happening, but I do know that this is where I was. And then not even like a month later, the Lord's plans for me to go to this Higher Ground Club. I feel like there is something spiritual in that. And so I don't know if maybe it was like the enemy knowing what you would do one day and trying to stop it, you know, and Jesus like saving you. I'm not sure if, I don't even know if that's biblical.
I got a
picture. That's something that happens, but you know.
I got a mental picture of Jesus holding a shield and the darts are bouncing off the shield and arrows are bouncing off the shield and Bryce is behind that shield.
Mm-hmm.
So I, from that, I would kind of discern that, you know, when he accepted Christ, he allowed a covering to come over his life that protected him, that's protected him ever since. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, before you're Christian,
let me jump in on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because that's kind of crazy that you said that.
That happens a lot with Matt.
I'm pretty, yeah, I just think he's crazy. So I'm like convinced it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty much been my thought of like, it's just been an attack from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't under the Lord's protection in any way. I wasn't under his covering and umbrella. But I used to have this dream regularly. Not to break it down, but it was just this like super stressful, anxious nightmare that was repetitive throughout my childhood. And part of that was arrows flying at me.
Wow.
And like while crossing this bridge, you know, you're this feeling of I'm trapped and all those things that come with it. And that's crazy because that was something that I've always thought back of like, that was the enemy like speaking to me while I'm sleeping and some demonic influence there. And I'm also, just to iterate this, I'm probably the most skeptical charismatic out there.
Sure.
And so I'm not like the first one, oh, that's spiritual. But that like hit a point that I think that was really cool.
Awesome. You know what, too, and you've shared some of your bouts with depression over the years. I mean, we're pretty transparent on this show, maybe too much sometimes. But during our sabbatical that we were on, our hiatus, I went through probably the second worst depression that I've had in my life.
Me too, actually.
Really? Yeah. You too? We can never take another break, Brianna. It was horrible. And some of it was circumstantial. You know, some things happened and transitions in life were happening and people close to me that, you know, stuff was happening too. Mm-hmm. But what I found too is beyond that depression, and for folks that have met me, I'm not really the depressed kind of guy.
Right.
You know, I got a lot of reasons to be grateful.
You're like the cure for some people's depression.
The cure. That should be a name of a band. But the deal is that the devil jumped on it and started whispering things in my ear.
Right.
And I agreed with him. Mm. I was like, okay, I think what you're saying is true, devil. But I'm not supposed to agree with you because his purposes are death and destruction and, you know, and deception and all of that. And so a lot of times it'll be a situation, whether it's, you know, neural pathways and or chemical imbalance, and medication does some really good things and it's better now than it used to be. But the enemy will jump on situations as well. Yeah. And I remember walking over to... Shout out to Hank Demohusky, to his home group. And I had George with me from Kenya, and I was just going to introduce him to the group, and because I was supposed to teach, but I was introducing him to somebody else. And it just lifted. And two people at that group had, one had a prophetic dream about me the night before, didn't know anything, and one of them just prophesied over me as I came walking in the door. Talk about skeptical, you know, charismatics. I mean, it was just thick.
Yeah.
And what she prophesied was what had just happened on the walk over. And that lifted, but then there was still things to work through.
Yeah.
Right. So there was just, you know, things mentally for mental health and to get out of it.
And I also think the story just kind of, what I was thinking was like, regardless, it's almost like God is saying, regardless of like why you felt that way, what was happening when you felt that way, like, look at what I'm going to do with you, you know? And I'm not one to like shy away from an understanding and an acknowledgement of like the past, you know, but I do think sometimes we can spend too much time trying to be like, well, you know, why did that happen? Why did I feel that way? I combed through my whole life and there was nothing wrong. And but I was so depressed and I don't know why. And I think sometimes it's like, well, who knows? But what we do know is that I think that the Lord has used you very much in the lives of a lot of children. And I think that regardless of like what you were trying to do with your own life and being in control, God was like, actually, like, watch this, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And I think it's also really gracious, you know?
So much of the time when God takes us through something, attached to that is a responsibility mm-hmm. to help the people through it. And you get it, right? Because you were there. And so many of the young people that we minister to at Youth Venture, I don't want to say there's good reason to be depressed, but there certainly is a causal link when they're going through the abuse that they're going through and the neglect that they're going through. So you're on the other side of that now, mm-hmm. right? So you get plugged in and you don't become a pastor overnight and you start taking shifts at Youth Venture?
Yeah. So I became a junior staff. So that's our like sit here and sell snacks for me kid. That's really the extent of it and moff everyone's on. So that was my first ministry I ever served in, was in Youth Venture, and it was just because it was easy and I was like, oh, this would be fun. And you know, there's perks to it, events and trips you get to go on and all sorts of stuff. And so yeah, I did that, and then high school, started doing junior high ministry as a high school helper and became a small group leader in the high school group. And then did that all through high school and started ministering and like learning, oh, you don't pray this way. Oh, you don't say those things when you're counseling, or, you know, in the minor ways that I was at that time.
Well, I want to ask this because I've seen this happen. So you weren't raised in a Christian household and all that church going family. How does your family respond to the fact that you are getting sucked into this thing and you're spending all your time at church and you're, what is this Youth Venture thing? What is this higher ground? How did they respond
to it?
They
say cult at all?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting. So my mom was raised Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, wow.
Turned 18 and left and went through, you know, there's a lot of drama that happens when you do that.
Yeah.
And so she was pretty burnt on church and like pretty like mm-hmm. all churches are cults. And like had that mentality. And very much like God was never non-existent in my life. You know, we prayed once a year at Thanksgiving probably, but that was the extent of our Christian walk. And then my dad was just raised. He was kind of in a Youth Venture kid state of lots of terrible broken family that he grew up in, and kind of made the decision to break out of that. And so they were both unchurched and kind of just living their lives like a typical, you know, middle class American does. And so when I started coming, they were very wishy-washy of like, what is this place? Very skeptical. I think part of it was like that was when a lot of stuff about the priests touching kids and stuff was coming out. And so I think it was a lot to do with that of like, hey, this is weird, you know, hearing this in the news, and now my kid's gone six nights a week at church.
Yeah.
And so they actually started coming with me very much so of like, we just got to know where our kid is. And so they started coming on Sundays, and I got I'll try to remember the timeline exactly, but I got baptized in January of that, you know, 6 months after I got saved. Took me a little while. And my dad got baptized that June, I believe. And then my mom got baptized like that November. And so they've been coming to the church for a while. It was awesome.
It is dream. So diabolical. It is the craziest, where families are changed from the kids up. It's just nuts.
It's the greatest.
That's like, why that Joshua principle and that the whole thing is based on is so critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't do a bus ministry because you're going to make a lot of money off of it.
Right.
You don't do a youth venture because the snack bar makes so much money. It's none of that. It is the way you change an entire culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you change a city, you change a region that way.
Yeah.
That's why I think we buy into it so mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the challenges that Youth Venture and the other things? Explain a little bit about the broadness of what you're doing, because it's not just Youth Venture, but Youth Venture is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the primary thing I do is for sure Youth Venture still. That takes up more than half my time. And so running that, you know, a lot of logistics and vision and making sure things are going the direction they should go. And then Higher Ground, I started running that beginning of this school year. So.
And can you explain that? Because some people don't know what it is.
So then Higher Ground is the after-school clubs. You know, we're right on the public school campuses. And mm-hmm. for about an hour and a half, the kids can come. And we always have some snack. We always have a Bible study. When we can, we have worship. Just if we have a leader or not is what that depends on. And then they play a game. And same thing, the whole goal of that is students like me that were lost and don't really know. And it's a real easy of you're walking out of school. You see this door open that there's fun going on or your friends in there or whatever it is. And you have an opportunity to hear about the gospel because of it. And so overseeing those, so those clubs that we have, same thing, dealing with the logistics and the vision and leaders and volunteers and all those things. And then I work a lot with our bus ministry director, Andrew Wilkerson, if anybody knows him. And we're just doing a lot, him and I, trying to collaborate and get our kids, because we're kind of going after the exact same kids, but just not the literal exact same kid. So trying to do more where my kids are his and his kids are mine, and there's a lot more overlap.
That synergy is really powerful.
It's so important
with doing it. I know with talking, because I'm on visit board, they're doing the same thing at other churches where they might not have the location or enough volunteers or money that it takes to do a youth venture, but they can do an after-school program. Mm-hmm. What's it take? A couple of people?
Yeah.
You know, the people that are listening, you can go do that. A bus ministry?
Well, it's also important as a church to present a unified, you know, a unified oneness. You know, we all serve one God. We all serve one purpose, you know, and we love each other and we care about each other and we want to assist each other and see each other succeed.
Truth.
Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges that you're facing in those? What do you need? What are you coming up against?
Yeah. Volunteers have been the hardest thing.
Amen.
And we talk about this all the time. There is a cultural shift, and I think this is general. I don't think this is just a Foothills problem of serving less.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you look at young adults, people my age and younger. There's just not this like drive of, oh yeah, every night of the week, if I'm available, I'm at junior high group, high school group, or doing a youth venture shift. And really praise the Lord for there's still faithful volunteers. Like there's so many people that are keeping our doors open and our clubs open. So it's not to negate anything they do. But so volunteers have been the biggest thing. You know, there's clubs that I want to launch and I'm ready to go that I just don't have anybody to do it. And so that's always frustrating and a bummer, because it's really hard to convince people to give up an afternoon, especially because a lot of people work.
Yeah.
Because the time frame. And so that's probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
That's a hindrance. But then also just trying to figure out what our new draw is for students. Because it used to be we'd open a door with some arcade machines and a pool table, and droves of students would rush in.
It was crazy.
And now it's a lot more work to get students in. There has to be an initial connection that is deeper than, hey, come play video games over here. And so that's where this synergy with bus ministry, the synergy with Higher Ground, I think is going to bear a lot of fruit, because we have all these students that we have relationship with. We're just not pushing them as, hey, go to this thing. Hey, let's go over to the teen center. Let's go to church on Friday night for junior high group. And that's where I'm praying and where I think that the Lord's going to bear a lot of fruit.
And people that are like intimidated by that, like, what would your conversation be? Like, people that are like, that sounds...
That want to help out, you mean?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Yeah, but they're terrified.
People are listening that are kind of like, yeah, like, I hear the need, but, like, how can I do that? Or whatever, like, I'd rather do something else. Or I don't know if I can make deep connection with inner city kids. That's really scary. Like, what are like some of the conversations that like we're having with people to kind of curb that fear of joining?
Yeah, the thing I tell every single one of our new volunteers is that the best part about Youth Venture is I ask you to show up and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually what I want of all my volunteers. Because showing up, and if you love to play video games, you can show up and play video games for 2 hours with kids and your ministry will be incredible. If you love pool, you can do that. If you love cribbage or whatever, Monopoly or chess, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of those kids are playing chess. I see that all the time.
Yeah, or crocheting or sewing. Or
Beyblades at Sea Island Adventure.
Yeah, or Beyblades, apparently.
That's back.
Yeah. It's back. And so that's the cool thing, is that whatever it is that you do, I want you to show up and do that thing. Mm-hmm. I want you to enjoy it, because when you're enjoying it, when you have that joy and it seems like, hey, I want to be here playing chess with you, that goes leaps and bounds of inroads into that student's life to be able to say, hey, Jesus even cares more. Like, hey, I'm not doing this because I'm just bored. I'm doing this because I want you to know the redemptive power of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And So that's what I say to everyone of like, it's there's no, you don't have to teach. You don't have to wrangle kids or anything. You have to come and talk to them, show them some love. So that, and then, I'll leave it at that.
Well, I think because I've just seen that there's some like, there's some intimidation with kids nowadays. For some reason, it's like, you'll get the, well, I don't know how to like talk to her, or I don't know how to like talk to him. And it's like, and I get it because like I've done youth ministry for like 17 plus years, you know, and some kids can be imitating, you know, like you go up to them and you're intimidating. You go up to them and you like want to introduce yourself and you're like, hi, I'm Brianna. And they're kind of just like side eye you like, who is this adult trying to talk to me? Like, and can they get on my level? Like, do they know all my slang? But I have found like over the years that if you're just yourself and they're themselves, usually that kind of like intimidation breaks. And then you get really cool dynamics where you have like two maybe opposite people. Like you have a leader that, I don't know, like loves playing games and a kid that doesn't. And then something happens and then you talk to each other on like a common level. And now that kid's like your best friend. I've had so many kids that at first they like didn't like me. Absolutely. And then after like a year or so, they were like, can you do this? Can you go here? Can you play this game with me? Can you I'm like, oh my gosh, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You
know? It seems to me in my experience, and I ran Lakeside for a while. And before that, I was just doing shifts and stuff like that. And some of it's still very similar that it starts out from a level of, distrust. There's a lot of mistrust, you know, like what's your angle? What are you trying to pull here? You know, starting off that way. And then once you earn mostly by listening and caring and loving, once you earn the right to be heard, then that relation, then it's relationship and building family. And the thing for me, because I want to give you my answer to it, what I've seen about what overcomes that intimidation or whatever, because quite frankly, I think intimidation is part of it, but being too busy and self-possessed is probably a bigger challenge, because all you got to do is just hang out one time and come back, you know, the second. But Bryce, what I'd like to do is, when I was opening up the show and talking about Brianna was in a book, she was in the Kids Like Us book, Volume 1, and her story was there. And I've used this to get into the pockets of all sorts of people over East County, you know, just get their money to send kids to camp and stuff like that. Well, we are announcing officially the release of Kids Like Us Volume 2, and Bryce is in that book. And I got one sentence in a story way in the back, which I remember vividly having an impact on a young man's life. But Bryce, is there one of these stories, you could grab a book if you want, and could you just read a portion of it? Because I got to tell you, the reason that people should give 3 hours, they should invest 3 hours of their life. Oh, it's only two now? Holy smoke. Everybody should do this. The thing that I really want from this episode is to compel people to do it.
Yeah.
I believe that there has to be a minimum of 3 volunteers on every single shift for Youth Venture to accomplish the purposes of God.
That's right.
Right? That's where I'm at. But when, like, I was in a group of 100, you know, Chamber of Commerce people and Rotarians and all of that, and I read a paragraph of Dylan Morris's testimony, and they weep.
Oh.
And that's what's compelling to me. So for the first time ever, Bryce Stacy, would you read just a portion?
And it's like an audiobook.
There we go. Use your audiobook narration voice.
Yeah, this is Josh Flores, and it's funny. It's his story and his brother's, because they were so close that they literally just did everything together.
Yeah.
But a short little snippet without reading the whole thing is he says, without adequate finances, and my mom struggling with drugs, we moved around with various relatives and friends, sometimes having to crash on their couches. Several times we had to move suddenly with no idea of where to go. And finally we moved in with my mom's boyfriend, who was a drug dealer. Strangers would come to our house at all hours. And then he just says, during this time, one of our favorite things to do was to go to Youth Venture Teen Center in Lakeside. We discovered one day while wandering around downtown Lakeside, we saw a building filled with pool tables, video games, and other things for kids. And I'll end it there. But that's what we're after.
Yeah.
Students that are in these broken situations, that are lost. They're just, they have nowhere to go, literally nowhere to physically go. And we want them to know that there's options. And not even just that Youth Venture is the option. We want them to know that, you know, over in Maine, when you read this thing, there's an option. There's a church nearby that's going to have something for you.
And the end of each story is a life-changing encounter with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Carlos Flores is one of my favorite human beings on the planet. He's on staff.
Yeah.
And he, you know, you're leading worship. I mean, there's pastors that came through this. If those kind of stories that are real don't compel somebody mm-hmm. to invest 2 hours that they'd be normally doing what?
Yeah.
Scrolling? This is what I hope.
Decompressing.
Yeah, decompress over a game of pool. Price. And you know what? I used to, you know, make side bets and make a lot of money off these kids.
It's true.
That's not true.
It's a lot of money in it. So in the kingdom.
So I don't know. Is there one point that you just want to drive home and accomplish?
Yeah, I am trying to think. I know Mark has a quote on this in one of his books, but I can't remember it. But essentially that idea of, like, if not you, then who? Of if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? And that's something that I think we as Christians too often have this, they'll take care of it. Or, you know, Kevin's on staff, so he's got time. He'll go do it, and mm-hmm. he doesn't have any time. And too often we pass the buck of what our duty is as Christians to reach the next generation. You know, Mark talks over and over about the transformative power of the gospel is the answer to every single one of these problems. And and I thought of this when you were talking earlier, that it like does not matter who you are, where you are, Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Like, there's no situation that you can't look to him and turn towards him and will change your life. From me, you know, I was raised in a good situation and still dealt with things, to kids that are wandering on the streets. They're still the answer. To, you know, you could be the wealthiest person in the world and Jesus is still the answer. And so that's what we need to do. We need to reach this generation.
Okay, so Bryce, for the people that we have just hooked to say, I'll give you 2 hours, how do they contact you? Or the person who's listening, what was that final state we finally got? Vermont. Somebody.
Hi, Vermont.
In Vermont. How would they contact you if they say, you know what, God's talking to me through you, I want to do this campus thing. I want our church to be involved with this. How do they contact you so that you can help them ignite?
Yeah, easiest way is probably email brycestacy@foothillschurch.org, BRYCESTACY. That'd be the easiest way. You can go Youth Venture or YVTeenCenters.org. It's got contact info and phone numbers and all that stuff. Any of those routes are easy. My info, I think, is also in this book. So when you finally get a copy of this book in a few weeks, you'll all the info's in there.
Okay.
Those are private.
I'll put all the links in the description too.
Okay. Yeah. So this is, I want to go Francis Chan. I'm going through Crazy Love with a guy right now. So I want you to stop listening to this podcast right now. And I want you to email Bryce Stacy.